Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your presence. Thank you that when we go out, Lord, to serve you, to serve your people, that we're not doing it in our own strength. Lord, we know that within ourselves dwells no good thing. Within our flesh, there's nothing good that comes from it. But Lord, when we turn our eyes to you, when you fill us, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we know that we are functioning, Lord, as your feet, as your hands. So Lord, we thank you for that. Today, Lord, as we get in your word, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would turn to you and long for you even more than we did this morning. I just pray, Lord, that you would work in power and in might, that you, Lord, would be glorified, that you'd be honored. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, church family. So we're going to show the video of the mission trip, but I wanted to talk about it for a second just to give you guys some idea of what you're going to be watching. So we drove down to Vieira, Florida. That's by Cocoa Beach, Melbourne area, mid-east side of Florida. And it was truly just an amazing time. The kids, I got to brag about the youth. They are really hard workers. I was so proud of them. Everywhere we went, after we got done working at a place, the people that were leading at that ministry would just say, you know, when we heard that a bunch of teens were coming, we're like, oh, great. They're going to destroy something. They're going to ruin something. They're not going to do any work. We worked really good. They worked so hard that when we left, everyone, everywhere we went, they're like, that's incredible. You put these Florida kids to shame. You Georgia kids need to come down and teach these Florida kids how to work. And I was like, praise the Lord. And you know what? What's crazy is everywhere we went to eat, everyone was like, are you a church group? And I was like, yeah. They're like, we could tell. All your students are so well behaved. They say thank you and they sit there and they pick up their trash and they're respectful. So I was like, man, praise the Lord. You know, I was so blessed and I was so excited. Yeah, praise the Lord. We went down and we joined a couple other churches down there in Florida. And each day we didn't really know what we're going to do. It was very last minute what we were going to do. And so we kind of planned for everything, but it just turned out to be more of labor, like just physical labor. So the first work day that we had, we went down and they just needed furniture. This church just needed furniture to be moved. And so we moved their furniture and picked up some trash and, you know, painted some rooms, and it was great. A funny story about that first place is I got the contact for the pastor, Pastor Fletcher. So I call Pastor Fletcher, hey, we're here, and, you know, deep voice, yeah, okay, you know, great, you know. Yeah. And good thing I'm from California, we don't say yes, ma'am, yes, sir, you know, it's just culturally what we do out there. Gracie's always telling me, you should say it. In this instance, I'm very glad I didn't. So I get there, we're working, and I start seeing banners, Pastor Fletcher, and it's a woman on the banner. And then Pastor Fletcher comes up, and it's this big woman comes up and shakes my hand. Thank you, with this deep voice. Thank you for coming and working. And I was like, yes. And I start going over did I say yes, ma'am? I don't think it is, sir. I'm like, oh, good. So that was wonderful, you know, that happened. But we were able to bless them. Second day, we went to Calvary Chapel, Melbourne. And they're tearing out their playground to put in a nice area for families to fellowship. Fake grass with some canopies and furniture. So they're ripping out their playground. So they needed some help smoothing out the lumpy ground where the tractor couldn't go. Or the skid steer. And so that's what we did. It was very hard work. The kids worked, and everyone worked so hard. We're out in the Florida sun. It's super hot, and I was so proud of them. We're out there with, you know, shovels and rakes and pulling weeds, and they did an excellent job. The pastor comes out and just goes, you guys are hard workers, man, like, take a break. And so it was wonderful to be able to bless Calvary Chapel Melbourne with that. And then the third day, we went out and, why am I spacing? We went to the homeless shelter. and we got to pull weeds, put in some pavers, and that's when I got food poisoning. Only me. Some other church, you know, other groups that were there previous days got food poisoning, but from our group, only I did, and praise the Lord for that. And then the fourth day, we went to a park, and we passed out soda and popsicles, and we're able to share the gospel. And it was so fun because we're talking about sharing the gospel beforehand, and we're going out, and so we go out, and I'm sharing with this lady the gospel. And Amy comes up to me while I'm sharing the gospel to this lady. Pastor Jonathan, I just shared the gospel. It was incredible. It was amazing. God is moving. He's amazing. And I'm like, that's wonderful. Amy, talking to this lady, you know. Her excitement was so wonderful. And she walks away and the lady goes, wow, that's impressive. I think, honestly, what Amy did was better than what I was saying, obviously. The lady was just, yeah. And praise the Lord. And, you know, in the evening, so we'd work in the mid-morning day, and then we'd go out street witnessing in the evening. And I was just so proud of our group. They were just so filled with boldness and it was so much zeal. It was wonderful. And we had a beach day last Friday, and it was fun. Everybody got sunburnt and crispy, but it was a wonderful trip. I want to say thank you to Chris and Oscar and Judy and Sean and all your guys' prayers. Thank you so much. We truly had just a blessed time. But I want to, show the video.
There is not a man or a beast, nothing on the land or underneath, oh, nothing that could ever come between the love you have for me. I could lay my head in Sheol, I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep, oh, but there is not a place I could escape you.
He told me, God told me to like focus, put my focus on him more than like other things in life, because I think a lot of time in life that you can get distracted, and these trips, especially retreats, and I've never been on a mission trip, but this one, my first one, it reoriented my mindset, I guess. And it was also neat to see how other people grew in their faith and the fellowship that we had, and it was amazing to see like how God worked through us for others. I did not feel equipped to help God, but he worked through me anyway. So
I feel like for me, like the mission trip, it was like interesting in the way that we did work and stuff, but I feel like the verse that summed it all up was 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love power and in a sound of mind, and that just stuck with me. So
I saw God's power throughout the trip through the worship. It was just really cool seeing everybody worshiping him and just helping be able to lead that. It's just really cool.
I saw God work a lot through the worship, and I had to give a devotional. So one of the verses that really ministered to me throughout the trip was, you know, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind.
Jesus spoke to me through Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and with courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
And he also spoke to me, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose.
So on this trip, I learned just how much of the blessings God has given me and just how fortunate I am to have the things I can live with. And I also realized just how much God is working in my life and how much he has helped me grow in him.
The way I saw God working on this mission trip was, even though I was terrified to give a devotion, he still gave me the right words to speak, even through all my struggles.
So what the Lord showed me on this trip is just how wonderful our kids are. And what really blessed me was when we went out door-to-door evangelizing and evangelizing in the parks, and how the kids just embraced it and how they got to see some salvations and just saw the Lord work in all their hearts. It was very sweet for me.
Wonderful. Well, guys, Pastor Mark has blessed me with this opportunity to teach. And so what we're going to be looking at is after God's heart. And so this theme came up in our winter retreat this last year. And as I've just been processing, what does it mean to have a heart after God's? And talking with a pastor one time, he was talking about desire. And if your desire, and Acts 13, 22 is not where we're going. I apologize. That is just a slide from our winter retreat, because it's such a cool slide. We're going to be kind of all over the place, to be honest, and that's why the verses are going to be up on the screen. So the pastor was talking about desire, and if you have a desire for something and you have God's heart, then it's good. And I was just processing that. So if I have God's heart and everything, why do I still have such terrible desires sometimes? And so it's one of those things where I want to go through and look. It's when we are in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit and seeking after God, where God is able to really give us his desire. But there's times we drift and we lose track of really what God's heart is. And we can start doing stupid things. We can be in the flesh. And so the answer for that, for being in the flesh, is confession. It's coming to the Lord and asking him to come back and getting your mind off of the things of this world and back onto him. And so looking at, really, there's 4 points. We have the bad heart. That's where we all start. We all start with a bad heart. When we come to Christ, when he fills our lives, when he comes into our lives and renews us, then we have a good heart. But then there's times we can drift, and so we can have a shipwrecked heart where we have drifted into the rocks of this world. Then we have a clean heart where God comes back in and he cleanses us, renews us, and puts us back on our feet. So looking at the first point, we have hearts and that are from the beginning evil. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, sorry, not that slide yet. It's okay, it can be up there. God looks at the world, and the thoughts and the intents of man's heart were continually wicked, it says. And that's where our hearts are. Jeremiah, when he was writing to the people, they had come from a very wicked state. Manasseh was one of the most wicked kings that Israel, well, Judah, had ever seen. He established temple worship of idols, prostitution, and all this horrible, horrible stuff in Israel. He completely forsook the Lord. The Lord dealt with him later in his life and restored him, but still what he did was very damaging to the people of Israel. His son, Ammon, he came in And he started doing exactly what his bad father, Manasseh, was doing. And he went back to the idol worship and to prostitution for worship. And so, what did the servants of Manasseh did? They killed him after 2 years. Let's get this guy out. Then we have King Josiah, 8 years old, came in, and the Lord was able to use him in a powerful way. When he was 18 years old, they found the law, most likely Deuteronomy. And the priest brought it to the scribe, and the scribe brought it to Josiah, read the law to Josiah, and he realized, oh no, we have really gotten off track. And then starts one of the greatest reformations in Israel. They got rid of the idols. They got rid of the prostitutes, and they started restoring. Well, they already had started restoring the temple, and that's why they found the law. But they completely got rid of the idols and came back to the Lord. And they started worshiping the Lord, and they would come into the temple church and come in and go, this is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And they'd be praising the Lord and all excited. But what Jeremiah is getting at is, you guys are worshiping the Lord when you come to the temple, but your hearts are far from the Lord when you leave. People had started going off into the woods and started worshiping idols once again. And so what they were doing in the public was worshiping God with their mouth, but their hearts were far from God. And so Jeremiah writes in Jeremiah 17:9, and we can put that slide back up, 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind and even give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. We also have in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, where God gives Ezekiel a vision of a wall, and he digs through the wall and he goes into this inner room. And in this inner room is modern day pornography all over the walls. And that's what their idols were. They were little naked statues. And he sees this, and God said, see all this stuff? That's in the minds of the spiritual leaders, of the leaders of Israel. Once again, what they say on the outward is not what's inward. They thought, oh, God cannot see within. But truly, their hearts were deceitful and wicked. And our world here, we have three enemies. We know, our flesh. We have the carnal world. And also we have the devil. And what happens is our flesh is influenced by this carnal world. And then the devil uses our flesh to attack us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our failures. And he's able to use the flesh to come against us and truly to destroy us. He is searching after our souls to destroy. And these are some of the lies that the world is telling us and that Satan is able to use. He says, and these are just common and lies, that you have to be true to yourself. Follow your heart, Disney says. But we know that our hearts are deceitful, that they're truly liars. And now what I'm talking about is not a beating heart, but the center of a person, the core of who you are is deceitful. And so we know that we can't follow our hearts because it's deceitful. But the world says, got to be true to yourself. Follow your heart. The next lie, in the end, you have to do what makes you happy. The pursuit of happiness. When everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes and making them happy, then we're miserable. We know that we're miserable. We're miserable when we do that. The third lie, no one has the right to tell someone else what's right and wrong. No one has the right. I want to do what I want to do. It's a complete lie from the enemy. We have the self-centered world, so eager to follow their hearts to every fleshly desire. And at the same time, they're ignoring the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So God, what he does is he gives them completely over to their carnality. Completely. Next slide, we have Romans chapter 1, verse 28, and says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now this word, debased, it means that they cannot form right judgments. Do we see a world with a debased mind? They can't form right judgments. What's right and wrong, you know? What's a woman? It's terrible. They're clueless. And we have this quote by Warren Wiersbe. He says, men and women not only committed these sins in open defiance of God, but encouraged others to applaud them when they sin. End of quote. Right? Hey, I'm sinning, but I need you to truly, by loving, I need you to love me, and I need you to approve. I need you to clap for me when I sin, when I go against God. That's love. That's love. And it's not love. It's not love. It's completely false. It's completely false, and it's from the pit of hell. It's the enemies. And we have to remember that we are sinners not because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. It's who we are. It's the nature. It's the fallen nature of man. It's not, we're not starting off on a good foot and tripping and falling. No, we've already started off on the ground. We're already wretches. We've already messed up. And so here, when we go out and as Christians, for those who have, God has come into their lives and has restored them and renewed them, and we have asked for his forgiveness, and we go out and as we share the gospel, and that's what we're called to do, is share the gospel. And for those who turn from their wicked ways, and they just stop and they realize where their heart has taken them, it has led them into a pit where there is truly no love and there is no hope or lasting peace. They're miserable. They're miserable in that pit. But in those moments in that pit of suffering and misery, the reality of eternity comes into their minds. Because in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says in the Bible that eternity is written on all man's hearts. We know that there is forever. That fear of forever is written on our hearts. We just know. And God has put it there so that we would just come to the realization that, man, when I look around and this world has been around for a long time, it's eternal. And the one who created it must have created it. He's eternal. And we turn from our wicked ways, we turn to the Lord, and we ask him to come into our lives. That's what it has to do. You have to come to the end of yourself. You have to realize there's no hope in yourself. You have to know that there's nothing out there that can truly satisfy unless you come to the Lord. The Lord, Jesus, is the only way. Science. Men will go to science. Men will go to spiritual things. But in themselves, they lead to death. Always leads to death. Anything apart from God leads to death. Suffering. Thinking that they're doing the right thing end up wretches and miserable. God, though, when we come to the end of ourselves, ask him to come in our lives, he responds in his abundant mercy and grace. And he takes our deceitful heart and he gives us a heart after his own and a new spirit that longs after him, and we become born again. In Ezekiel chapter 36:26-27, it says, I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take that heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Wow. God, that's how he does it. That's how he makes it possible. He wrote the Ten Commandments on stone because our hearts were stone. But now that he's given us a heart of flesh, he can write his spirit on our hearts. That we know and we long for the things after him. We desire to know him. We desire to find him more and more. And we desire the word. We desire to come to church, to fellowship amongst other believers. Why? Because we're filled with Christ. We want to be around more people like Christ. And so we have this great desire to be near him. And now with this new heart, though, it's a beautiful gift. It's a wonderful gift. But there's a command. There's a command to have this heart, this new heart. We are called to a certain way of living. We are called to walk in the light, to walk in Christ. That means a consistent, not a sprint, right? Oh, I'm going to be super holy at church and do all the right things and hug a lot of people and sing and worship. And no, it's a consistent walk. When you go home, live And this is hard. I'm talking about myself. This is hard. When to go home and maybe you're tired and you're just like, you know, I just want to, there's moments you want to veg, right? Just, new TV show on Netflix, or I just want to just relax and binge. These are temptations. These are temptations. And I'm not saying all TV's evil or social media or any of that, but it can be. It can be a trap. And you know the traps that you fall into. And the Holy Spirit's going to convict you of those traps. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that's living within you, to those traps when the Holy Spirit comes in your life and goes, I don't think you should be speaking that way. I don't think you should be watching that. I don't think you should be listening to that. I don't think you should be hanging out with those certain people. I don't think you should be doing those certain things. And so you have to be careful and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, why does God ask us to do this? We see in Ephesians 5:8. For you were once in darkness, but now are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. And we know that the reason God is commanding us to walk in the light, why? Is because he is in the light. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Man, why does God want us to walk in the light? He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to be with him. You know, for those who have kids, and I'm new to this, but oh my gosh, I just love my daughter. She is so stinking cute. Her tummy time, it's hard for her to have tummy time because I just want to hold her. But she has tummy time and she's just playing with her toys and I just lay next to her and I just want to be with her. I just want to spend time with her. And that's how your heavenly Father sees you. He just wants to spend time with you as you're having this, you know, tummy time when you're down here on earth. He can't wait till you come up to heaven and be with him for eternity. But here we're on having our tummy time here on earth. And we got to just go, oh yeah, our heavenly Father, I love you. He wants to spend that time with you. So now as we are in the light, and we will know that we're in the light if our life bears the fruit of the Spirit. We must test our faith by what is produced by our faith. You know, Christianity is not a faith of works. You don't have to do this or that in order to be saved, but it's a faith that works. It will be evident through your life. Are you bearing fruit? Is there love coming from your life? Is there joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Are these things coming from your life? If they're not, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Once again, John 15:5, it says, I am the vine, and this is Jesus talking. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. It's staying connected to Jesus at all times. Staying connected. Once again, just going, Lord, is my life glorifying you? What I'm doing, is this glorifying you, Lord, through my actions? And you got to just ask, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, God has given us this new spirit and it is wonderful, but there is times that we drift. As believers, we must guard our hearts with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23 says, because there is a great warning that we can drift away from the Lord. Hebrews 2:1. We can drift. Now, my family, we went to Hawaii this last summer, and my dad and I love the ocean. We love the ocean. We go snorkeling together. And my dad, though, I'm cautious, more cautious than my dad. My dad just has no fear. It drives me crazy. But we're in the ocean, and once again, this happens my whole life. He sees a sea turtle, and he has to chase it. And he just goes off, and I'll follow him for a while. I'm like, this is boring. We're never going to catch this sea turtle. They're fast. So I just start looking and doing my own thing. But I think my dad has gone this way, and I'm looking over here. And while I'm kind of just looking over here, my dad swims around me, and we didn't see each other. And he headed back in the shore. And I'm out there, and I just keep going out farther and farther looking for my dad. And I start praying, oh, Lord, did he die? I knew this day was going to come. Gosh darn it, why couldn't you have given him common sense? You know, I'm just praying, and I'm just like, oh, Lord, you know. And after a while, I'm out there for like 2 hours, and I'm just praying, and I just, you know, just, Lord, you know, and I get to the point, well, Lord, he died doing what he loves, you know, just, he's in heaven, you got him. I'm a worrier. I worry. And I'm just like, you know what, I got to go in, And so I come in, and as I'm coming in, who's on the shore but my dad? And my dad's like, oh, thank God I was praying for you. I was like, you're praying for me? I was praying for you. And that's us. As we're drifting away from our Heavenly Father, we're going, all right, God, you know, where are you, you know? And he's like, I'm still here. I'm watching you. I'm praying for you. I'm making intercession for you. But we can get on our own track and we can start to drift away from the Lord. And so, just like in the days of Jeremiah or the church of Ephesus, we can say and we can do all the right things at church. But when we go home, we live a life that pleases the flesh and not the spirit. And we leave our first love. This quote hit me the other day. When I heard it, I was like, oh, snap, pause. This is heavy. Timothy Keller, a wonderful pastor who recently passed away from cancer, wrote many books. But he wrote in a book on preaching, he says, your loves show you what you actually believe in, not what you say you do. And I was like, whoa, man, it's so true. The things we love are truly where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. Where the things that we love are the actual things that we believe in, not the things we say we do. And so we have to go, all right, Lord, wow, that's, I do. There's many things I love that are not of you. Help me, Lord, not to love those things. And we're so blinded at many times, many people thinking that they're good with God, but walking in darkness and on their way to destruction, and all the while being lied to by saying that you're good with God. When people say God is my homie, I'm like, no, he's not. That just shows when you say that you don't have a reverence for God. That you think that you just, a quote that I heard recently is, grace is cheap if you don't know that God is just. And it's like, man, you have cheap grace. You don't know the righteousness of God. You don't know the justice of God. You don't know that his burning anger when you drift from him, when you walk into sin. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with God, him, Jesus, and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Don't deceive ourselves. We can't deceive ourselves. What John is writing to is this thing that was happening in the church, and it was called Gnosticism. These people that caught up in it were saying that anything physical is evil. And so the problem with this whole thing was that Jesus, they were saying that Jesus wasn't actually physical. When he walked on the sand, he didn't leave footprints. And when he ate, he wasn't really eating and all this stuff. But the problem mostly with that is that he truly didn't die on the cross and he didn't rise again because he was a spirit. And so what they were saying to each other is the bad things that you do are not of you. They're the flesh. They're physical. But you're spiritual. You're the spirit. And so you can keep on sinning. It's okay. And we see that oftentimes in the church. Oh, I got to practice my freedoms in Christ. No. You're giving up a relationship with Christ if you're practicing your freedoms in the world. You will know that you have drifted out of the light if God is not your greatest desire. If your greatest desire is for comfort, power, and pleasure, then your heart has deceived you, and you are not walking with God, but serving a false doctrine. You are serving the doctrine of man. And it's like, wow, the enemy is so crafty that the enemy will take scripture and twist it. God, you know, it's just the prosperity gospel. God wants you to be wealthy, healthy, and wise. He wants to take care of you. But he says, prepare to suffer, really. you're going to go through hardships. The only way we're going to grow is through hardships. But we know that the grace of God is going to get us through those hardships. And so be expected that God, through God's grace, that he's going to do amazing things through your life. Now, another sign, and this is so interesting, especially, you know, you hear pastors say all the time, you know, being a pastor is wonderful. The only thing is the people. And it's just like, well, great. That's terrible. A sign that you have drifted is that you have start having a problem with disliking other believers. It says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have this fellowship, and that Greek word, as most of you know, is koinonia. And it's a word that means connection, sharing, and partnership. We are to have connection amongst believers. We are to connect and strengthen one another. We are supposed to partner and lift each other's burdens up to the Lord. We are to share and be helping each other to draw closer to the Lord. And that same fellowship that we have with one another, God wants to have with us. He wants to connect with us. He wants to partner with us. He wants us to share our problems with him, have that relationship where he's able to pour into our lives. Now, at those times that we've drifted, we've pursued the gods of this world, how do we get back to the heart of the Father? How do we get back to the heart of the Father? Do you guys know what the best book to bring on a desolate island, a deserted island is? How to Build a Boat for Dummies. The Bible, guys, is a boat building book. It's a way to get back to the heart of the Father. Every answer that you need for life is in the Bible. Every answer. And so, how do we get back to the heart of the Father? How do we get off this shipwrecked island? We confess our sins to God. And he is merciful, and he is so faithful, and he's so just to forgive us and cleanse us our sins. It says in 1 John 8:9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is our sin, and the answer is confession and cleansing. The problem is our sin. It's not people. It's not our circumstances. Our misery stems from a broken fellowship with God. That's truly what it is. It's not your spouse that's not making you unhappy. It's not kids. It's not your coworkers. It's not your church family. It's not the person that cut you off. It's you have a broken relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we need to realize that's our sin. And the answer is confession and cleansing. Confession and cleansing. Now, this word to confess, the Greek word is homologeo. Homo meaning the same, legeo to speak. And it means to speak the same as God. When you confess, you are going to the Lord and you are speaking God's language. Whoa. You're speaking the same as God. You are doing the opposite of your flesh. Your flesh says not to confess, to conceal. Your flesh will always say not to give. Your flesh will always say to hide. But God is saying, no, I give, pray, confess, fast. You got to go opposite of the flesh to reach the Spirit of God. You got to say no to the flesh. You got to speak the same of God. And you got to confess, Lord, I open up. I have sinned. I have blown it. I have messed up. But what does God say when we open up to him, when we confess to him? He says he is faithful and just to forgive us. Now that word faithful, it means he will do it. He is going to forgive you. He's faithful. He's going to forgive you. Not if, not maybe. He's going to forgive you. Now, he's just. What does that mean? He has the right to forgive you. He died on the cross. He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has the right to forgive you. And then, that word forgive, it has a word picture of in Leviticus chapter 16, where they would take two goats. They would sacrifice one goat for the sins. And then they would take another goat and set it off into the wilderness and lose it. And it was the idea that God was taking the sin of the people and losing it. So God will forgive you. He has the right to forgive you. And he's not going to hold it against you. He's not going to hold it against you. He's going to say, come. Just like the prodigal son. It's not like, oh, you did it again, you bozo. No, it's embrace. It's a party. Kill the fatted calf. There's excitement. There's no shame in the Father's eyes. There's no shame, only love. So when you have backslidden, when you have loved the things that are not of God, you need to turn to God, you need to confess. And he will forgive you. He has the right to forgive you, and he's not going to hold it against you. And what is he going to do? He's going to cleanse you. That Greek word is katharizo. This word, it means someone or something to remove the poison from your body because you are not able to. You are not able to. God is going to do a work that you cannot do in the flesh. Once again, the enemy wants to put you on that deserted island and say, you can do it. You can do it. We can fall into works-based legalism, where we try to please God through holy and righteous acts. But God's like, what are those to me but filthy rags? The law will always bring death, but the Spirit of God will always bring life. Are we called to do good things? Yes. But not in a way to put God as the debtor. Oh, if I do good things, then God owes me. God will never owe you. We owe God everything. He has purchased us at a price. And so when you come to him and go, Lord, I need you. I have sins in my life that I can't get rid of. I keep trying and trying, and I'm driving myself crazy. Will you take that anger? Will you take that pride? Will you take that self-hate, that shame, guilt? There are so many things the enemy will drive down your throat, but Jesus is saying, come to me. Just come to me. Be honest, be real with me, confess, and I want to do a work in you that you cannot do in yourself. You cannot do in yourself. So we are supposed to come to the Lord humbly. Lord, I've blown it. I've blown it. Will you please come into my life? Man, and how he is so faithful. He is so just. He's so loving. He's so kind. And so does this give us for one second the right to sin? You're like, ooh, I just got the formula to keep on sinning but be right with God. It's confession. I can keep sinning. No. Truly coming to the Lord is not scheming. Coming to the Lord in faith and humility is without scheming. Don't come to the Lord with your own agenda. Come empty and come open to him. Lord, how do you want to use me? I'm going to trust in you that you've got a plan for my life. I'm frustrated that I'm not perfect, but I know that you are perfect and you've got a perfect plan for me. So, Lord, do what you want. do what you want. When I was in Florida, I was out there on Friday. Man, the spiritual warfare was heavy. I felt it. Every time I talked to someone and witnessed to them, it just felt, stupid analogy, but like one of the Santa Claus movies, he's got like a magic meter, and every time he used magic, it went down. Like, I felt like I had a spirit meter, and every time I witnessed, it went down. And I was just like, at the end of the day, I was just drained. And throughout the trip, I just go back to my room and just like, Lord, I just opened up my Bible, like, please fill me. But I just went out to the ocean. I just swam out there because I didn't want to hear anybody hear me cry. And I went out there, and I was just crying. I was just like crying out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I need help. Will you please speak to me? Will you please just fill me up? And all of a sudden, I started thinking about my dad and how my dad loves the ocean, and my grandfather, how he loved the ocean. And I'm just bobbing out there and just thinking about my dad. And I start thinking about those really sweet moments that my dad and I had in the ocean, just talks. You know, when we go out boogie boarding, we just sit on our boogie boards and we just talk, waiting for the next wave to come, about the Lord, about his goodness and his kindness. And the same with my grandfather. And the Lord said, in those moments when your grandfather and your father spoke to you in kindness and love, and they spoke to you about me, that was me speaking through them, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, whoa. And the Lord starts going, think about every time someone has spoken a kind word to you and has spoken things of the Lord to you. That was me speaking through them, using them as a vessel. Because we are vessels. We are the hands and the feet or the mouth of God. And so when you confess, when you come and God cleanses you and you're right with the Lord, you're seeking after the Lord, you can be a vessel of honor and not dishonor. You can speak to people in a way that's kind and loving and draw them closer to the Lord. And I was just like, oh man, Lord, thank you. Help me to be a vessel of honor and not dishonor. So guys, I want to encourage you. If you are on that desert island, confess. Come back to the Lord. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit speak through you that you might be used by the Lord in a powerful and a fresh way. God wants to use you in a fresh way. You got to be open to what that is. You got to be open to what the Lord wants to say. Well, let's stand, let's pray, and as the worship team comes up, we're going to close, but Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for you. We are so thankful that you are a God of grace. Lord, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But how much more will he use us and work through us now that we're the children of God? Lord, I just thank you so much that the gifts that you have are not little but great. I just pray if there's anybody here, Lord, that doesn't know you, would come to know you in a saving, in a righteous way. I just pray if there's anybody here that's backslidden, that they would turn from their backsliding ways and turn to you. I pray, Lord, that as the church, that we'd be a church that's on fire for you, excited to share the good news of what you've done on the cross, how you have risen from the dead, that you have ascended to the right hand of the Father. And as the enemy, the devil, accuses us, that your son is there to go, nay, nay, that's my child. I love him, I've cleansed him, I've cleansed her, brought them into the kingdom. I pray, Lord, that we would walk in victory, walk in newness of life, that we wouldn't fulfill the lust of the flesh in any way. So, Lord, go before us. Bless this week. In Jesus' name, amen.